Off the ball
on News Talk
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
And it's Monday Night Rugby here on News Talk. Gavin Comiskey, the Irish Times in studio. Hello.
Good evening.
And Gavin Rich is on the line from South Africa, senior rugby writer for supersport.com, will be with us in just a moment. On Friday, Leinster beat Cardiff 37 points to 9. On Saturday, Connacht beat Southern Kings 32 points to 10. Munster beat the Cheetahs 51 points to 18. And Treviso at 14 points, Ulster 21. So this was the first weekend where people, I think, really started to notice the rugby was back on. It wasn't such a kind of clustered schedule of sport and All-Ireland finals and electric picnic and all this kind of stuff. So it was
yeah,
kind of back.
Notice. Yeah.
Well, okay, be vaguely aware maybe it was back on if it didn't quite capture the imagination. So Munster 51, Cheetahs 18. The Cheetahs have conceded 93 points and 14 tries in their two matches, and Southern Kings really not doing much better. Connacht easily made mincemeat of them, 32 points to 10, the final score. And this is a Connacht team still finding their feet. So very quickly, we're realising that the South African teams thus far are frankly not very good.
Well, I got flagged off for being very negative in my previews of the Pro 14 because I did about 20 minutes research on the South African teams and realised the Southern Kings are just coupled together. They lost their entire squad. The Cheetahs are running, which they've had to add something like 20 players at least. They have a 55-man squad now because they're running in two competitions.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
They're still in the Currie Cup, which runs from June until October. Are we expecting them to be suddenly better then come October when the Currie Cup ends?
I can't wait to find out from South Africa what they're going to do. For starters, they're playing Leinster on Friday night, and then they're playing the Pumas in the same stadium on Saturday. So they're playing two games in roughly 24 hours, the weekend after next. One in the Currie Cup, one in the Pro 14. We have been asked to give this time, that it's going to be this year, it's not going to be. But supposedly the Cheetahs sent up their best team up to the Northern Hemisphere for these past 2 weeks. You have to also realise their season didn't end. It just rolled from Super Rugby into this. And in Super Rugby, they were ridiculously porous as well.
Yeah.
But be very interesting to see how Leinster go up in the High Veld the weekend after next for the 6-day turnover on a trip that they never prepared for until a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, well, we'll come on to that. Gavin Rich joining us from South Africa. Gavin, I was scanning across various South African rugby sports websites and newspapers this afternoon. There wasn't much mention of the Pro 14. I have to say, it didn't seem like it was capturing the imagination thus far.
Well, I did write a piece today, actually, on supersport.com. And I said similar things to what I've just heard now. I think that there's a lot of a very quick learning curve that the South African teams have to embark on, or they're going to be an embarrassment in the competition in the short term. I think that there's always been a bit of a long-term view here. Remember that the Cheetahs, 3 months ago, they didn't know, you know, they weren't sure whether they were still going to be in Super Rugby or whether they were going to be going into an overseas competition. They weren't sure which overseas competition it would be. The Kings, of course, they lost virtually their whole squad. I mean, they actually did very well in Super Rugby. They did surprisingly well in Super Rugby with a squad that had only come together in January. The coach there, Dion Davids, did remarkably well. He got a lot of praise for that. And then he lost his squad because they weren't playing Super Rugby the following year, and a lot of those guys are now playing for the Sharks and playing for Western Province and playing for other provinces. So the Kings, actually, to me, have surprised me. I think they've been a little bit better than the Cheetahs so far. Mm. And they've got an excuse not to do well because they really have been cobbled together. They've been together for about probably 2 or 3 weeks as we talk now. And the players they have got aren't very good. I mean, I have heard commentators say, well, they've got Super Rugby experience in their squad, but they don't have good Super Rugby experience. I mean, they don't have any real standout players, and they are, on paper, quite a poor team. So, but what they do have is they've got a good coaching staff that did remarkably well in a very short space of time in Super Rugby. So I think that it's possible that the Kings might learn quite quickly.
Okay.
The Cheetahs are another story. The Cheetahs won the Currie Cup last year. They won the domestic competition, and we all thought that they were more of a domestic rugby team than a franchise that played in Super Rugby, and I think that was borne out in Super Rugby this year. They were very poor in Super Rugby. They aren't a good Super Rugby side. They don't really have the money, to be honest. They don't have the draw to get players to Bloemfontein. They lose a lot of players to the Sharks. They lose a lot of players to Western Province. They lose a lot of players to the North. Anybody who makes it in Bloemfontein ends up going elsewhere. So the Cheetahs, they're no great shakes. I'm hoping, though, that being in the Pro 14 might actually get them some cachet, and maybe there will be players, quality players going forward, who will want to play in the Northern Hemisphere rather than the Southern Hemisphere, and they may opt to go to the Cheetahs and maybe go to the Kings. That's why I talk about long-term view rather than short-term view. At the moment, it's all too quick. I mean, in June, they didn't know they were playing Pro 14. It's now, 3 months later, and they're in the competition. I think we do need to give them a bit of time, but it could be a bit embarrassing along the way before we get to that sort of long-term situation.
Gav, just a quick one. Gavin Kumsky here, how are you? Which is the priority for the Cheetahs in the next 2 weekends? Is it the Currie Cup match on Saturday week, or is it beating Zebra and Leinster? Which team are we going to see the better players on?
No. I mean, it's undoubtedly the Pro 14 is taking priority. I did hear you talking about the Currie Cup and having two teams, and their Currie Cup team at the moment is their C team, is their third string team. There's nobody playing in their Currie Cup side at the moment who should be in the team that's playing Pro 14. So the
team that travelled up here for the last 2 weekends is their best players.
Unfortunately, yes. That is the best team. They were very poor defensively in Super Rugby, and they're pretty poor at forward in Super Rugby. What I think could be interesting is when other teams come to South Africa, is the Cheetahs do play a very sort of Super Rugby style of game on the half health, on their sort of firm, hard field in dry conditions. I know it's been dry over there in the Northern Hemisphere, but possibly at home, their quick tempo game might take some of the opposing teams out of their comfort zone. I know that sounds like I'm clutching at straws, but I think that is possible. But otherwise, they don't really have the forward pack to match the better Northern Hemisphere team.
Okay. So looking at Munster's performance, Gavin Kumsky, they looked very impressive against this Cheetah side. 51 points to 18. It was 22 points to 6 at half time. Razzy Rasmus was talking about things working very well, not least the attacking game against this Cheetahs drift defence. And Gerry Flannery a few weeks ago talked at length about how Munster were working on a more expansive game plan for this season. So do we see glimpses of that, or is there anything much we can take from a game against the Cheetahs?
No, their defence is too poor to take anything from it. There's some evidence of Munster their game is evolving, and Razzy's going to leave them in a good state when he does move on in January. But I was watching it with a Man United fan, so we went to a pub where there was two screens, and after about 20 minutes I was just disgusted that I didn't have Munster on the handicap, because it was so evident what was going to happen. They were going to hit 50, and I just watched Man United and Stoke instead. Munster do look in good shape, early season stuff. They haven't been tested at all yet. They lost their, this is exactly where all the best South African players are going, they lost their good South African second row, Grabler, to an ankle surgery before he got going. The guy's supposed to be replacing Dunica Ryan, who had served a steroids ban just finished up about a year ago, and he's been brought up to Munster as the guy to replace Dave Foley and Dunica Ryan, who went to France. He's gone, so Munster do have a little problem there. But we don't know yet where Munster are at evidence-wise, because it's been Treviso and a Cheetahs team that just don't look like they're going to be competitive, certainly on the road.
Yeah, Razzy Erasmus's return to South Africa is obviously imminent. Gavin Rich, are they desperate to get him back before January, or is there that's unnecessary, that doesn't matter if he comes back before that?
I think they just want him back. I don't think that there's, I think there's an understanding that they've got to let him serve out his time at Munster, so I don't think, I haven't picked up any sort of impatience or anything. I think that the understanding was that they want him for next year. I mean, really, that is, for when next season rolls around, so yeah. They're quite happy for him to stay there for Christmas.
Okay, and so a final point, and I appreciate the Kings and the Cheetahs are coming at this in from different perspectives. The Kings have had to cobble together a team from nothing, and the Cheetahs are maybe a bit disappointing of late. This season, we're talking, this is a long-term thing. Are you worried for this season, or are you expecting rapid improvement in both sides?
I've got a feeling that the Kings might improve. I think that they might be... But when I say improve, I'm saying they might win one or two games. The teasers, I'm concerned. I'd like to see the teasers stay at home. I would like to see the teasers stay at home because there is always a big difference between a teasers team that plays in Bloemfontein and a teasers team that travels. They've got a very poor record away from Bloemfontein. But in Bloemfontein, they've given some of the top Kiwi Super Rugby sides a run for their money over the years. But as you mentioned, their defence has been hopeless, and it's been hopeless for a couple of years now. They were sort of starting to sort of work on a press defence during Super Rugby. Now it looks like they've got a different system going. I don't know. They've got a different coach, of course, now because Franco Smith is now the director of rugby. But of course, he's not there. He's with the Springboks in New Zealand at the moment. So maybe that's a factor that you need to consider as well. The Cheetahs, I'd give them a couple of weeks, give them a couple of games at home before I'm absolutely sure. But they're the side that disappointed me so far. The Kings haven't disappointed me just because, I'm not expecting anything from the Kings at the moment, just because they're starting out from scratch. I'm thinking that, if I was a rugby player and I was a South African rugby player and I didn't want to travel to New Zealand and those long flights to New Zealand and they go and spend, 3 weeks in New Zealand, I would want to play in the Pro 14 and the union, the franchise that I'd want to go to, particularly if they can attract sponsorship, which isn't impossible, I would go to Port Elizabeth. So I've got a feeling that the long-term future of the Kings might be quite positive. I'm not sure about Bloemfontein because they've got this ridiculous situation at the moment where, as you say, they're playing in the Currie Cup, where a lot of the heart of their supporters is, if you know what I'm saying. I think the supporters, the average Cheetah supporter is probably looking more at Currie Cup than at Pro 14, but the top players are all playing in the Pro 14. So I think that's something that they're going to have to get around. And, it's not an easy one because they really don't have the depth to be playing in two competitions.
Okay. Gavin Rich, thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks very much, guys. That's interesting.
Cheers. Gavin Rich there, senior rugby writer for supersport.com. Razzie Erasmus echoing Gavin Rich's hopes, Gavin Comiskey, that Leinster will face a more competitive game in the High Veld. Leinster will have a tough game there. You play at altitude and after 30 minutes it feels like you're not fit. It's a different thing. It's things you will have to get used to with the land, and there's things when you land at altitude where your nose starts bleeding. You have to handle things like that, says Razzie, talking up hopefully a more competitive game for Leinster. So Leinster beat the Cardiff Blues 37-9.
Yeah, they played terrible. Didn't play well at all. They still got a bonus point. It was very impressive how they got their act together in the last 10-15 minutes.
Yeah. They head off to South Africa for 2 weeks, a week?
They head off tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, 28-man squad. They're timing their run up to the High Veld, as in I think they don't go up till the Thursday, which is Thursday of next week. The Cheetahs are giving out free tickets for the Zebra game, as far as I know. I think they expect to be able to sell them via Toyota, their sponsors. Leinster going down with no Lions, no Rob Kearney, no Jamie Heaslip, who has not been recovering as fast as people might have thought. No Dan Levy did his ankle when he came on the other day. Joey Carberry doesn't look like he's going either. So Ross Byrne, who had a shaky game and then really got his act together actually on Friday night, in fairness to him, looks like he'll be getting an extended run in that jersey. So it's going to be a lot on him to kick Leinster out of trouble. Easton Asiwa 12 is very interesting still. But Leo Cullen said it. It's we're the guinea pigs. Like, I was like, you're kind of happy to get this out of the way now, get this South African trip, because it's a bit of a nuisance, especially with Europe and Six Nations, all the mixing and matching that has to be done in this season, and this is just lumped on top of it with a nice financial sweetener. But Leo was like, yeah, we're the kind of the guinea pigs here.
And is this the only time they'll have to travel?
Yeah. You go down, you do your tour, and you come back.
So they've 18 players on the injury list at the moment. Dan Levy, you mentioned Heaslip. That is taking its time, whatever's gone on there.
Well, he was supposed to be back on the pitch, and he said it on Friday night, he said it's slower than we anticipated. Looks like Kearney did his hamstring.
I was going to say, so Rob Kearney, hamstring, won't travel. He came off at half-time on Friday. John Fogarty was saying of Kearney, he's considered a special case with the injury profile he's built up over the years. He has to be managed. I know the team are doing a good job to manage him. I don't have an answer for you as to why he's re-injured.
No, none of us do. It's been back, knee, hamstring problems for a while. I've had enormous sympathy for him for what happened, because he looked pretty sharp. His pre-season stuff looked pretty good the other night, and then it just went. And you could see when it went, I think the second time he got treated, you could see the disgust on his face, because he knew that by the time he gets fit again now, James Lowe will have arrived from New Zealand, and it's going to get really, and I presume Cissé will be in the backfield unless he becomes a 12 for the rest of the season, which is not beyond the realms of possibility. Leinster, this is going to be tricky enough for Leinster. They should sort out the Southern Kings, but the Cheetahs match up there, with all Rassi going on about this high vault, people go on about this high vault thing for years, and it's the nosebleeds and all that. Still, against that Cheetahs team, their defence is just shocking. There's no defence. I'm talking about Super Rugby this season. I'm talking about then Limerick. Trying to watch that game, and as soon as Munster started to go wide, it was just same with Ulster.
Yeah,
Ulster went through the guts of them with a bunch of South Africans.
It was amazing watching the Munster game. I watched a good chunk of it. How quickly the novelty wore off. You know, it's the South African team, Thomond Park. This could be really interesting. I've never seen this before. Mm. And it took about 15 minutes to realise, this is just Munster against a very, very, very poor side.
Gav is right. The Cheetahs are very exciting ball in hand going forward at home. I would have loved to have got his opinion. Actually, just on one other thing is, like, is this the gateway for South African teams to come up here and not to be going and getting their beatings, as he talked about, in New Zealand, because they're sick of that and they can't take it anymore. And they know they're not going to turn that around. But this needs to work for everybody. But the Pro 12 Rugby, Pro 14 Rugby, they've rebranded. They've rebranded on the base of this being a thing. And we're in week two here and we're hammering away at it because it's just they're not competitive.
Yeah. So, because you can have people say, well, give it
time. They do need time. They have asked for time.
That's fine. But I mean, people will give it as much time as they feel like giving it. And no one's looking massively forward to the Cheetahs' next visit to... Where are they playing? they're home. Well, you'll watch the Leinster game for sure see how they go at home. If they're a different proposition at home, then suddenly the trips to South Africa at least take on a certain kind of impact.
Both South African teams need to put Zebre away anyway. that has to happen. But Leinster over there, it's going to be interesting because Leinster will probably pick up a few injuries. I'm almost certainly Leinster. It's the second one is the Cheetahs. They'll pick up a few injuries, and by the time they get up there, it's a tricky old thing for Leinster, because then you want to get hit ground running up there, you want to win both those games, come back, and then we're rolling into Europe, you know.
There were 4 tries for Alex Wooten. Looks very good. Razi Erasmus was saying of him that, so he's a product of the exile system and has done well underage for Ireland, and Erasmus was saying he's definitely got outright pace. Maybe aerially he's not as good as Sweetman and Conway. That's something for him to work on, but that's very promising. 4 tries. And as Erasmus said of Munster now, in Afrikaans, there's a saying, it'll probably come out the wrong way. It's nice when the young dogs get into the neighbourhood and they start lifting their legs and showing the old dogs that there's guys coming through. So we have young Munster players taking a leak at lampposts around the training ground, which is good.
It's great. Look, I've no doubt that Rassi Erasmus is going to leave Munster in good shape.
Yeah.
But all that anyone cares about down there, all that anyone cares about in Irish rugby, is who he helps or who Munster find to replace him, and Jacques Niebuhr.
Yeah, don't underestimate his loss.
Don't at all, because he's the coach and he's got his medic top on every time, because he's legitimately a physiotherapist and he's going onto that pitch and he is the hands-on coach, and his influence is enormous, and he's a really interesting guy, and it's a massive loss, and he goes where Rassi goes. But I genuinely think Erasmus will do a lot, will help in the recruitment. I think he'll have an input into finding the guy, and I think he'll find the right guy, because he tends to, whatever he puts his mind to, he's a success.
Do well. Connacht beat the Kings 32 points to 10.
Yeah, I watched it.
Kieran Keane afterwards was saying that we had a far more attacking mindset tonight. I know the weather played its part the last time against Glasgow, but it was a beautiful night on Saturday. We gave the ball a bit of air, which is what we're trying to do. We're on the right path. We're getting better, and that's great. And he talked about feeling very nervous before that game after the disappointing opening night. So he is very, excuse the pun, keen to have them playing attractive rugby and continue that brand.
They were never not going to perform with the Galway Hurlers in the crowd coming on. There was just
did they come on?
They were brought as guests, and Liam McCarthy was paraded.
Oh wow!
Imagine Muldoon not performing, or the lads not showing up after that.
Muldoon was on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
and told us Joe Canning, and he wasn't. I said you're lying, and he said I'm not lying. I promise you. He said Joe Canning, as a 5-6-year-old, was striking the ball over the bar from.
They're a few houses down, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're great friends. They all played hurling together growing up.
Yeah, I remember the Muldoon brothers.
He was saying, Canning, as a 5 or 6 year old, was hitting the ball over the bar from 50 metres.
Yeah.
And I said, that's not true. And he said, it is true, 100%. It was unbelievable.
There was a great picture of Joe Canning and Jack Canning. From Brendan Moore took it from, I think it was 2010, pucking around in the garden.
Yeah.
And Jack Canning, I remember watching Ross Gray playing a schools game, and this flanker, could have been Newbridge, I think it was Ross Gray, but this flanker called Jack Canning, about two seasons ago, looking at him, I was like going, no way, is it? And then you see Ollie, and you see the brothers on the side of the pitch in Donnybrook, and they're going, it won't be long, it won't be long shifting them over.
So
keep coming.
Yeah, tangent over. Connacht were
Yeah, solid.
Good, but, solid. This year won't be as difficult as last year for them?
No, it won't be as well, because there's none of the unsettling uncertainty of what Lamb hitting the road. Kieran Keane is a good coach. Whether he's going to be, whether he has the resources to show it, or I really think we'll see that skill level thing is embedded in their brains. That's the best thing that Pat Lamb left behind. We didn't see it last season much, but saw glimpses of it this weekend. Kieran Keane is all about the skills levels of, because his Chiefs teams have played just the best rugby you can see at the moment, he's got a bit to do with that. So I don't know, because they played against the Kings. I just can't judge. There's no point in me dressing it up.
This was very, very worrying for the tournament.
Gavin was right. The Kings are not. You just pluck a few names out and Google them, and they're not professional rugby players, a lot of them.
Right.
Gavin, that's where we're at.
Of the Irish Times, thanks for coming to the studio. Short break. We've got Pat Nevin next on the Football Show.
Off the Ball.
On News Talk. In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.